small. Like, I went into a shame spiral.
A shame spiral. You're so funny. I like that. You got this whole thing mapped out, right?
I listened to it.
Did you
shame spiral?
I feel like such a hater, right? No way. I listened to it, but I almost fell out of bed laughing. It was winding down.
That's what I was going for.
Your voice was getting, and you hadn't even been there yet.
Oh, was this a Tuesday thing?
Comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just whets our appetite with this person that will.
And then they gotta go.
I started laughing. It just tickled my funny bone. I almost fell out of bed. I was trying to go to sleep. I woke me wide awake. Silly me listening to the
really catch your own risk
while I went to bed.
Don't listen to those recordings.
Oh, what is it? Bitter. Sleep. We're going to nickname you the Bitter Kitten. That was really good.
The Bitter Kitten. Sparky and the Bitter Kitten.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone gets their nicknames sooner or later.
That one got me going, too. I was like, if I keep laughing like this, all my sanity is going to go and there's going to be nothing left.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You'll be, your nickname will be in front of the line. Sanity Clause.
So good.
Forget Santa, right?
You get really sanity. Sanity Clause, Sparky, and Bitter Kitten.
I like that. I think
everybody's going down.
We're onto something now.
Really, what's left?
And what is your name?
I don't know. It'll come. I'm sure someone will figure it out. It's bad luck.
How about what the fuck?
Bad luck to name yourself. It's always bad luck.
Nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy. Nice guy, Sangha.
Oh, my God. So good.
Whoa.
Oh, and you can't forget the small dick comments.
Oh, my God. That was
I missed them.
Is that what that medium produces, this uninhibited sort of...
It's getting that way. It's just it's like anything goes, because talking about enlightenment is so 2014. Yeah.
Well,
does that mean you don't want to talk about the small dicks? We're still in 2014.
You're always welcome to join us on a Tuesday night. We know you're not doing anything.
Yeah, a bunch of guys, they talk about penises. I'm like, should I just start talking about my vagina? I don't know. Should I talk about my imaginary penis?
Oh, yeah. No, this is all on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it goes out just like this.
People have crapped out by then.
This is the Dharma. This is the new Dharma. It's just, it's a hell fest.
He's so good. What do you have on?
I do.
Yeah.
Is it the hand lotion? It might be my chapstick. I just put on vanilla chapstick.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Smells good.
It's very good. I put it on my lips and I'm like,
she squirts out from the lips on.
Bitter Kitten.
That is a good name.
That is good.
I can't wait to hear you talk.
Now,
I stole
that?
It
who
from someplace.
That one completely.
It's not
really
original. It's not an original. Bitter Kitten. It's time to get real.
From these gay guys that have this blog, they're always talking about Bitter Kittens.
So we'll have an inquiry version of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Different powers.
Yeah.
No, she.
Well, how do you?
Says it.
It's a great challenge every time a group gets together, whatever a group is, and considers what exactly, what the nature of consciousness, or silly words like freedom or enlightenment. I mean, these are all such trivialities; they're absurd. So where do you go? How do you launch into a shared, exploration, an entertainment of sorts? To see what kind of authenticity is, brewing in your psyche that wants a voice or has a question or to look, carefully, affectionately or piercingly at itself. How do you start a conversation?
I think number one, you just admit you're full of shit.
That's
you
a good place
to start.
You can't talk
about what we're trying to talk about.
Yeah.
But given that as a ground rule, then all bets are off.
Yep, that's a good place to start.
And you never take yourself too seriously.
That would be a mistake. You know, even the enviable accomplishment of so-called being free of fear, it seems kind of marginal. Yes, so big deal. What? Who's free of fear? What's free of fear? Some idea of yourself, you know, weaving through an imaginary life where you call the shots or events occur, or let's say you had to end a, you know, a long-term relationship, or and you're free of fear. Like, well, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing. And it's like, oh, someone else wants to be free of fear. I'm like, why? What? You know, nothing wrong with being, there's just nothing wrong with being how one is. Even, you know, woven into the bizarre fabric of consciousness doing what it does. Instead of this...
We don't have to hide the crazy.
No. Yeah. What? To do, for what? Yeah, for what? There's, to even imagine that something could be fulfilled and that you might actually be interested in a thing fulfilled seems like a total waste of time. Seems like conjuring an event horizon where there's just space. There's nothing. So trying to approximate being free of fear or being omniscient in one or a thousand ways or charming or clever or... you know, whatever, whatever is like, yeah, that's great. You know, peacocks come to you and ask you for nibbles. I'm like, well, that's fantastic. You should live at a peacock farm, I guess. You should be a peacock farmer. You know, it's like, look at all of the comic books that we have for all of the miraculous personas that have, right, traveled the earth. Some of them are really masterful, genocidal maniacs, right? Many masterful genocidal maniacs have roamed the earth, and their antics are in the history books. And there's a, you know, a small pinch of gurus and an even a smaller number of purveyors of the world's major religions. I mean, you've only got three or four personalities there. Of all of the curious miracles that have occurred on planet Earth, we can say, well, Jesus was a big name in the business, and Buddha was a big name in the business, and, you know, Muhammad was a big name in the business, and Moses was a big name in the business. And maybe Rama, you know, or Krishna, Hanuman, you know, mythical figures of the Hindu, right, the pantheon. Like, that's it. That's pretty much it. That's who everybody worships. Just, you know, three or four people. And then a bunch of offshoots, of course. You know, just the multi-generational posers. That's it. That's the whole shebang. And I want to be free of fear. And, you know, I want to heal. And I want a soulmate. And, you know, financial. I want abundance. I want celebrity. I want stuff. And so... we can't help but to construct the imagination of something's actually happening here. Something happened on planet Earth worth your while, and you would be wise to emulate one of the great masters that have come before us. And, like, why? For what? Why?
I think it's better to feed peacocks.
Peacocks is good, man. Peacocks, feed peacocks. You know, jackals. Whatever will come out of the woods to take food from your hand, feed that.
You mm-hmm. forgot to mention Wayne Dyer.
Wayne Dyer might come out of the woods. He might not. I don't know. You have to go to the... I'm not sure what you kind of bait you would bring to the woods to see if you could get Wayne out of the woods. Cash.
It's
there you go. Cash.
It's gotta be liquor, man.
Yeah, yeah. A bottle of scotch. You know, a nice bottle of Johnny Walker Green and a suitcase full of cash. And Wayne will slowly come out of the woods and approach you really, you know, with trepidation and grab a dollar bill or $100 out of your hands and then take a sip of scotch. And before you know it, you've tamed him. Tame the wild Wayne Dyer.
I was thinking of Wayne Lickerman.
Wayne Lickerman, he'll come out.
That's why I said that. But.
Yeah, he's good too. Wayne will come out of the woods with, well, he doesn't drink anymore, you know, so I don't know if alcohol will attract him Maybe the false sense of authorship would attract Lennon to come out of the woods. Someone suffering from the false sense of authorship. Like, we could tie Nan, for instance, to a tree. Someone who's clearly suffering from a false sense of authorship. And Wayne will come out of the woods. Then we can take shots at him.
Might as well be really.
How to catch a guru. We'll do a reality show on how to catch a guru, and we'll just tie each other into various situations and see who comes out of the woods to help out. You know, like Scott Killaby, like, pulls up in a car and tries to help you, and you snag him in a cage. You know, or Adya Shanti sneaks up, like, from behind a rock, you know.
You force him to eat junk food.
Or Mukti, you know. She comes out like in a costume and she's smelling. Put her in a cage. Caught another guru, and then they go into a jail cell. It's a good reality show. Mm. I like it.
Beat the guru.
Pretty yeah.
Like the same as whatever it is they're doing right now half the time. Like, we look at reality TV and we're like, this is so bad. But we look at that like, this is, it's like the same thing.
It's the same.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Honey Boo Boo. Tie
nuts.
Honey Boo Boo to a tree. See who comes out. Probably, what's his name?
Honey Boo Boo.
Who's that comedian that's getting all that
Bill
heat?
Cosby.
Yeah, yeah. Tie Honey Boo Boo to a tree and Bill Cosby will come out. Oh, it's bad. Hey, Hal.
Hello, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Hal.
Hey.
Oh,
my goodness.
Hi, everyone. Terry, how are you doing?
Mm. Oh, my gosh, we have food.
Yeah, middle closet. Loads.
Party. 10 minutes ago, me and Beth were ready to go to the movies.
Too bad.
Yeah, I know.
You showed up.
Jeez.
Who are you going to go see?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, the Hunger Games shown every half hour.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, I guess.
We would have just tied somebody to a tree and baited him.
I know. Yeah.
Wait, he might come out.
Somebody needs help. I can smell him.
What's the meaning of this?
Yeah, somebody wants to know the meaning of this. Quick, help him out. Whoa. You know, it's interesting. Let's say there's a group of, I don't know how many, there's 9 of us, 10 of us, whatever it is. It's like, that's already too weird. Like, who's in the room? What the hell is on anybody's mind? You know? What are you in for? It's like, this is, you know, like prison. What are you in for?
I'm in here for a cake.
Yeah, for the cake. Yeah. Like, what are you court ordered? Is that why you're in this meeting? Is it court ordered?
Movie
yeah, movie grant.
Well, I
you don't know.
I came for the laughs.
For the laughs. I hope some occur.
The
then just imagine 40 people, or 80, or 160, or 320. And you're like, whoa, I mean, how do you talk to anyone? As if you can speak meaningfully, concurrently, intimately with 320 people. You can't. You can't, you know, once it's 12 people, it's like, whoa. Right? It's a flying saucer. It's a magic carpet.
Audio visual systems help. Big screens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
well,
big
like
screens
tell
a story over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one way communication.
That's right. I'm free falling, free falling.
That's not one way the whole way. They have microphones, and then certain people that have to get up in front of the microphone are sort of like the spokespeople. Then there's others that lay in the back and sleep a lot.
We're tribal, right? I mean, we're biologically tribal. Those kinds of events and energies, you know, 300 people or, you know, 7 days residential, those are powerful events. That's a big kumbaya. What happens to our, you know, the pride that we have in seeking when there's no takeout box? When you can't find anything. Where there's absolutely nothing that could possibly benefit your life.
You just did. Or when you just smack up against the wall of total defeat.
That's a good thing, you know. Or if you're humiliated somehow, that's a good thing. Yeah. We think that freedom might look like being free from fear, or that there's a takeaway from living, a pleasant one, a liberated one, right? That there's something to be done with this, something to be had, a permanency of miraculous view that we would like to occur, right, inside of us, so that we were Scrooge on Christmas morning all the time. Right? Because Scrooge on Christmas morning was the shit, right? He walked through the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future, and they kicked his ass so big, so bad. They wiped his slate so fucking clean. They wiped his clock so clean that on Christmas morning you couldn't recognize the man. That was the depth of the liberation that he had, and that was one night. That was the Buddha story, right? A Christmas Carol, right? That's the name of it. A Christmas Carol was the Buddha story told in, right? What is that? Blue collar England, right? I don't know what time period it was. Scrooge came out on top. His clock was cleaned. Is anyone here interested in that kind of catharsis? So tomorrow or today will be Christmas for the rest of your life with a giddy, self-annihilating generosity that knows no boundary and no fear. That's what Scrooge did on Christmas Day, wasn't it? He was fucking awesome. Just awesome.
What did he do the day after Christmas?
We don't know. Yeah. That's a good question.
I'm going to see that movie.
That would be a fascinating movie to see whether Scrooge held the charge of his fearless awakening after the ghosts cleaned his clock, or whether he regressed like we all do back into somnambulistic self-interest. Because it's hard to maintain the charge, isn't it? Of being Scrooge on Christmas Day.
Whatever that is. It's hard. It gets harder every time you go back.
Okay.
You know, it's not the same.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So it makes sense that what we crave can only be a product of what we know. Right? Isn't it curious that we think we're aiming high, but what we crave can only be a product of what we know?
Which means we know this somewhere. Somewhere inside.
It can go either way. You could suggest that it means you have an instinct of the sacred, or you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you're really lowballing it.
And you're lowballing it.
Really badly.
It can go either way. I mean, you know, if you're feeling good, then, yeah, you're a genius and you have an instinct of, right, awakening with no boundary. Or it could go the other way and you're lowballing it. Because all you can imagine, all you can crave is what you know. You can't crave the absolute because it's outside of the boundary field of reference. Right? That's what I was playing with.
And craving is entirely inappropriate to begin with.
Craving is inappropriate and try and stop.
Well, you can't try and stop if you don't crave, you don't crave.
No, do they?
There's no point in trying to stop.
Well, so
if you crave, you know.
The suggestion is, if craving, whatever craving is, besides being magical, whatever it is, occurs of its own accord. And if there's a break in craving, whether so called permanent or for the next 10 minutes, there's a break in craving. Big deal.
Yeah.
This helps.
Cake helps. Cake helps Sangha.
I feel good now.
Yes, I'm very, very, very focused right
yeah.
now.
Let them eat cake Sangha.
Oh, wow, this is good.
This is good.
Nobody goes home empty-handed. In other words, we don't try to get out from under craving. We just satisfy it. What's the big deal? With sugar.
Yeah.
Why make it all so magical? You know, beating yourself to death to be free from craving. Just have a piece of cake. You'll be fine. Take that, well, Buddha.
I just heard a commercial as I was leaving the house that...
Thanks.
You know, they were
Thank you.
Telling you to
wake up in the morning and just can't wait to see what the day brings.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. And I was thinking this morning, or I was thinking, wow, when have I ever felt that?
Mm.
You know, where I get out of bed and go, I wonder what today is.
There you go.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we don't have that. Wonder.
Well, maybe
nice
tonight.
To
maybe tonight you'll be visited by three ghosts, and they will clean your fucking clock. And tomorrow you'll wake up and go, "Wow, boy, am I glad to be alive!" Let's go buy somebody a turkey.
Says the person who shows up late with amazing cake.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm late is because it wasn't done.
We're expecting that.
That's the thing with carrot cake. You just don't know when it's going to be done. You can fillet it with toothpicks till the cows come home, but you just don't know when it's going to be done.
Wow. Yeah. The cake was done, the icing kept melting.
It's good like that.
Yeah.
It's a little soft, but it's...
I like it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I have napkins, but they got wet, so I think when we want some...
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm free from suffering. This worked.
At the moment.
Yeah, that's good. For the moment, thanks to this carrot cake, I am free of delusion. I'm digging it.
They're from my garden, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Holy shit.
That's double bliss.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I didn't realize we have Martha Stewart in our
meeting. Yeah.
THC's home cooking.
So I really hope you laced it with ecstasy or something. We'll have a really nice party here.
That was nice to you, and now too good. Have a heart attack.
Do you mind if I eat the plate?
There's a lot more. If you want more, take
one.
It's like a favorite cake.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot. Have more.
This path is a path of humiliation. That's its primary goal and benefit. Because you're just not going to slide out of the comfort zone of who you take yourself to be unless you're humiliated out of it.
It's like American Pie 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that because the first night that I came here, I just did not know what to make of what you were saying.
I was probably feeling the same way that night.
And I was, it wasn't humiliation, but when I read your thing on Facebook today, I got the feeling back that I had that night.
Nice.
Which is being stripped away of beliefs and mindsets and just, you know, hack them down, hack them all away.
That's right.
And then you're left with, what? What? You know, and it's... I had that feeling again tonight, and you don't know what there is to hang on to, so it's just a matter of keep letting go of all of it.
There's no levers. You don't have a single lever.
Right.
Not a one. Not a button, not a lever, not a whistle, not a knob. You don't have a single one. Not a brake, not a steering wheel, or an accelerator. Not a nut wrench. I know. They can come in handy. You've got nothing. Your toolbox is absolutely clean. There's nothing in it. No matter what shows up, you can't do anything about it anyway. And even your doing something about it is included instantaneously in what shows up. Nowhere can you find a repository of will. Nowhere can you find a repository of will or a repository of clever decision-making to outsmart reality. Nowhere.
That means there's no safe haven where we're running the show and can...
There's no haven,
about it.
Let alone safe. There's no haven. There's no safe. There's no one to be safe. There's no one not to be safe. All is an idea.
So how does that apply with humiliation? And is the humiliation you're talking about, is there a Is there a fight versus like a surrender?
No, no. It's just a gift of cosmic humiliation. Gets so under your skin, you're defenseless.
I know. I'm saying like the versus maybe a more strugglesome humiliation where you fight.
We will.
There's an energy of humiliation, and we fight it, totally. Or we go with it.
Either way, who knows? Who knows? Who knows the consequence, the genesis, the circumstances, the fight, the success of the fight, the failure of the fight, the depth of the humiliation? It gets immeasurable. Because this moment is immeasurable. This one is. We tend to forget that this one is immeasurable. Then our minds imagine all kinds of shit which we think is measurable. So if there's a realization, and I'm not suggesting there is one, thank God, because I don't want to go to a fucking SID meeting. Lose my lunch. I'll keep my carrot cake, but I'll lose my lunch. This moment, what is it? You have no idea. None. Zippity-doo-dah. That means that all the moments that you thought you had prior to this one, or all the moments that you'd like to have after this one, is also zippity-doo-dah. You don't have a tool in your toolbox. You got nothing on this. Absolutely nothing on this. And yet, we think we want to be free, right? Enamored, causative, joyful, transcendent. Where? With what? What do you got? Experiencing is not interested in your opinion. But mind suggests that I am interested in my present experiencing. So it's kind of a bit of a conflict. Experiencing's not interested in you. It is not taking notes. There will be no performance evaluation. Here. But we seem to think we're interested in experiencing. It's a real lopsided relationship. It's a lopsided relationship, and you could say suffering is nothing other than the myth that we are and or should be interested in experiencing, because it's not interested in us.
We are experiencing. So in that way, it is interested in us because it is us.
It gets a little foggy, doesn't it? If you break down the imagination of a boundary, and then there's is, whatever is or whatever is isn't, and there's nothing other than is, then
so there is no boundary is the point.
Yeah, who knows what to say next? No. So that it occurs to us that we're interested in experience or the outcome of experience or the management of experience or the lamentation about experience. That's one-sided. It's insane. Because the actuality of experience is not interested in us. It's just like...
It is us.
It's just a fucking... I don't know what to call it. You know, some kind of shining shit.
Some kind of weird shining shit. Being with a life, is that what more specifically what you're... The human drama of...
Well, see... Yes. See how... Feel how, look at how one constructs the myth of self as a temporal creature, wiggling through life as a stream of experience, with the degree of paying attention that we do, which is pretty sloppy, right? Very sloppy. I mean, it's so sloppy, it's like, you know, it's like a greased pole. Try to do a pole dance on a greased pole. You know, I want to entertain the audience, you know, I did my routine, but every time I grab the pole, poof, I hit my face on the floor.
We did not create the myth of self. We did not create anything.
Fair enough.
So the myth of self is part of experiencing itself.
Yes. Okay.
So in that,
yes,
I would consider that there may be meaning. I mean, I'm not...
Right.
Ready to.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready to.
Anything around that.
Yeah, I'm not ready to insist on meaning.
Well, the fact that it appears.
Yeah.
And it is.
What appears?
It at this moment. This what appears at this moment appears. And so,
So have another. You're trying to say have another piece of cake.
I can't wrap anything around it. I can't. But there's some sort of.
There's no takeaway. There's no outcome of anything one can say. Right? There's no outcome.
But to say that there's no meaning, you can't do that either.
No, I can't do anything. So nothing. Nothing.
If
I'm saying.
Walk around and give meaning to my experience of what is unfolding in this moment.
Okay.
Which is what I do.
All right, if you say so.
It is only the meaning of the experience. It's the experience that appears. Is that
but you're
meaning?
But you're making it up.
But I'm not making anything up. If this appears,
it's an attempt at control.
No, I'm not trying to control anything.
Well,
if this appears,
as it appears, okay, yeah.
Then this is
fine. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not attributable to anything. It's not attributable to you making.
But it's not deniable either.
Yeah,
so
seems to be here.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that that means that it has a meaning, but that's my feeling. If it's undeniable,
yes.
Okay, then there's that, whatever that is.
And you want to give that or use the word meaning to as a metaphor for that this is.
Or experience, yeah.
Okay.
That it's an actuality. This moment is an actuality. So to me, that's
something
agreeable to meaning.
So you're not taking sides. You're not saying it is or it isn't. You're not taking sides. You're letting it be. Is that?
Yeah. Because there is no, you can't do anything else.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So it's a Beatles album.
Yeah.
Good enough.
All right.
The White Album.
Really? Thank goodness it's Mother Mary comes to me. Imagine if it were, imagine if it were Alfred E. Newman. When I find myself in times of trouble, Alfred E. Newman comes to me.
I don't know who it is.
What
me
worry?
Speaking words of wisdom, what me worry? Yeah. Yeah, he's the face of Mad Magazine.
Boy, that would be scary.
Totally.
That was his famous saying, what me worry?
Yeah.
What me worry? No way, man.
We're looking at the simply humorously the genesis of meaning being assigned to the atmosphere of experiencing. That's what we're looking at. How, not even how, that it appears that meaning is created, meaning is inferred, meaning is imposed, meaning is we become loyal to the meaning that we arbitrarily create.
So you're
here.
Trying to define.
Yes.
Yes, and that's...
Right. And that's why I'm saying we're really interested in experiencing because of the urgency, right, of meaning-making. When experiencing meaning, all that is not... there's no reciprocity. Yeah. So the relationship, then, is one-sided. I create myth and then hope that somebody else... anyone else will participate in that myth with me, but the fact is, nobody can. No one can really participate in your myth.
Well, even this doesn't participate in my myth.
No, that's right.
This does whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah.
I can tell the myth around it.
Yeah, it's not.
Doesn't
it's,
impact it when
yeah,
I'm.
Yeah, no one is
gilded, right?
No one's listening.
You gilded in your own way, but it's just gilded. Then.
Self-gilded, yes. Yeah. One's reality is self-gilded cage.
It all unravels at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if this is a singularity, any time we create a split, even conceptually,
right,
it's completely made up.
Anything said,
like here's an experience,
or inferred,
and then here's a person that's putting meaning onto it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I think that may be startling, but maybe it's the easiest ingress to the weirdness of awake. And I'm not trying to mean anything by
What's
that.
What's an ingress?
Ingress is a doorway in, right? The doorway in is your present experience. It has to be, right? If there's an ingress, if there's a doorway or a window, if there's a ramp, whether wheelchair-bound or otherwise, into reality, well, it has to be right about now. It has to be this. Can't be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so that's cool. So, all right, so whatever, if I'm interested in anything at all, I may as well start here.
Why not?
Right? Because anything that happened prior to this moment is not going to be all that helpful to me. Anything that's future of this moment, whatever that means, is likewise not going to be all that helpful. So if I'm looking for a door or a window or a rabbit hole into reality, I'm in luck. Here the fuck this is. Okay. Now this is clearly, I'll take a leap, clearly present. Something is clearly present.
Do you have an opinion about why we have a propensity to abuse our ways out of what you're talking about?
Well, yes, of course, because ask me any question and something will be made up.
Sure.
You know, something will be made up. There's right. Not a question, I'll say I don't have any idea.
Okay, what's your...
I'll make anything up about anything, not because I insist,
can
but because this
it?
Does.
Can you share it?
What's the question again? Because whatever the answer was 30 seconds ago is not the same one.
Right. Yeah. Do you have a feeling right now...
Right now.
Of why... Many of us, all of us, some of us have a propensity to wrestle our ways out of this or into a concept.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, it's a great observation because it's I don't have an answer, but let's look at it in real time.
Okay.
The question is live, right? The question is juicy. You know? The question is not trivial. The question is like, really, my life depends on that question. Truly, my life depends on that question and the way that I respond to it. It does. I don't know. Yeah. Here's this. It's pushy, right? Mm. I mean, experiencing is thrilling. It's seductive. It's pushy, right? It replicates. It sniffs itself out and gets together and replicates. I mean, it's a happy fest. It's a carrot cake, man.
I have an opinion on that, and I'm sure it's wrong.
Okay.
But let me throw it to you. Just for the conversation. But if this is a singularity and inexpressible and without concept and all that, then...
Okay, we nailed that.
It is unable to know itself, and therefore it needs a self as a mirror.
Oh, I like that.
So when you're a self, you're a mirror.
Either that or it just wants to fuck with us.
Yeah.
We're part of it. That's what I'm saying.
Fuck with itself.
It's very weird. Really. I mean, here's present consciousness, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. Something's afoot, right? Mm-hmm. Something is afoot. Whatever it is that's afoot.
It's probably
all right,
does you could say could be a sign, right? Could be a sign to behavior that you're speaking of. Something that's afoot could be assigned a certain behavior. Mm-hmm. What's the behavior? Well, I drive myself fucking insane. Right? I drive myself fucking insane. I torment myself in a thousand ways, and I can do so all day long, even if I haven't eaten much. That's right. That's
yes.
The question. I can torment myself 24/7. Christmas, Easter, New Year, no day off, regardless of how much I've eaten or the quality of that nourishment. Mm. Go figure. That's a magical power, that this can torment itself pretty much 24/7, 365. That's a magical power. Why it does that?
Don't know.
Don't know. How it does it? We're not even sure how. Through association, right? Let's just call it, what's the least common denominator is referential association, right? Discursive meaning making. Conjuring universes imaginarily from raw material. Here's the raw material. One conjures luminous, multivalent, multispectral universes based on self.
It makes me think of when I was a kid and there was a stairwell in the house I grew up in, and I would squeeze my head in between the little wooden pegs and then get stuck in there. and then I'd have my head in there and be like, and at first it seemed like a good idea.
How many more times did you do it?
Oh, and then of course I did it again. Or get like a leg in there.
So there you go.
Just like
I think it's just like, hey, what if I did this?
Yeah.
That's what suffering feels like. What if I do this? Yeah. Terrible ideas just for the sake of seeing how
that
it feels.
That works for me. Yeah.
And then redoing it and getting my head back in between the banisters.
That works for me.
Because you can.
Just
because
I'm able to. Hey, it slips
That's
in.
Right. Well, you wind up with a good story.
Oh, man. I never thought of that, but I just thought of that.
This is radiantly so, not passively so. This is not trivial. This is magical. Right? I mean, it's truly magical.
But, I mean, you say we don't have a tool in our toolbox, but, I mean, what if, you know, the group that we're in now exploring, what if, you know, silencing our chattering minds in meditation, is that a tool that can help awaken us? Although I know you say awakening isn't a means to an end or an end, but isn't that a tool or no?
No.
Okay.
Not really. It occurs. Meditation occurs. Sometimes quiescent meditation occurs. Sometimes really gnarly meditation occurs. Sometimes we get a nice sweet hit, you know? Yeah, man, reality does not suck. Sometimes in meditation it's like, I fucking hate it here. Everywhere. You can't say. So nothing is actually causal, which is strange, because we think in terms of a creature in a process called meditation, a successful meditation with a certain kind of pleasing outcome, and maybe that, you know, accelerates, or, you know, sedimentary layers build up, and boom, at some time, I can see the sun. That's like putting your head through the banister and getting stuck in a gnarly place. You see? It's the same thing. This is ecstatic. This is ecstatic. It's the ecstasy. It's the ecstasy which can be held responsible for the playful curiosity of suffering. It's the ecstasy. Because what else is this? This is not other than ecstasy. This is not other than presently radiant, unutterable beatitude. Completely off the charts, without boundary, without time, space, without process. That's what this is right now. And so if anything occurs in it, like suffering, or like not suffering, this weird, radiant strangeness is responsible.
Radiant strangeness really got me.
Here it is again. You mean in a chronological suggestion, before you do anything, before you think anything, before you reach a conclusion, before you have an aha, before you, try to convince anybody of anything, what's here? This radiant fucking strangeness. This rudimentary weirdness.
Sorry.
I'll have what he's having.
Oh, man.
You got the slice with the ecstasy. God damn it. Every time you get the slice with the ecstasy.
I always do.
Even when I'm sitting right next to you, I can't get the goddamn slice. Fuck.
Just I think he piece. Got up and got his own.
There you go.
See?
Really?
It's definitely rudimentary weirdness.
So this is acausal. Present experiencing is a causal. It's not built. It's not made of anything. It's as dreamy as it is corporeal, right? It's as weird as it is touchable, sensorial, painful even. It's bizarre, multivalently bizarre. And bizarre doesn't mean anything except that we can't actually box this. That's all. Bizarre doesn't mean anything except to suggest we can't say with any certainty, with any authority, with any conclusivity or causal, right, reaction of what this is. Because it's we can't.
So define pain, because when you say painful.
Yeah.
Like, that's behind a definition, right? Like, I mean, what is painful?
Good question. what is painful is the same question. It has the same poignancy. It's got the same leverage as Mr. Howell's question. What does this? How does this do this? How is this capable of tormenting itself? Getting involved and engaged in fantasies which, you know, appear as if suffering is the outcome. Same question. What is pain? What is felt?
So, well, what I'm thinking is that pain is just an overlaid definition on something that is just part of the experience.
Okay, so we could say the same thing about moon. The moon is some bright white fucking saucer somewhere in the sky that you can't touch. We don't know what it is, but it shines in our face or it makes wolves howl.
Right.
And we call that moon. But it's not moon. It's that white fucking disc in the sky that seems to come and go, you know, and makes wolves howl.
Pain carries for me anyway, and probably for everybody else, a negative connotation. So then there's a judgment applied, where the moon doesn't seem to have necessarily a positive or a negative.
Yeah, that's right. Carrot cake and genocide. Hmm.
Exactly.
Let's see. What would you rather have a slice of?
My thought, I'm probably going to butcher this.
We all do. There's no way out.
Is that... this expressing something or some whatever, and there's nothing, or there's nothing to.
You should try out for Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. I guess my feeling about what pain, when I'm here at least, whereas at home, pain is like, oh my God, I, Eric Venuto, am in pain, and this thing's happening, it's happening to me, and I'm messed up, and I'm fucking up, and I'm blah, blah, blah.
That's true.
Versus like, huh? And then calling that pain.
Yeah, sure.
So I guess it feels very liberating when you say pain here to have the... was my feeling about that.
That's cool. No, it's like a good boundary melt, like a tuna melt.
I just had almost that without hot cheese. It wasn't hot.
Well, I wouldn't have anything without hot cheese.
Oh, okay. All right.
I listen to ZZ Top with hot cheese.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. So let's say your mind is free to roam. Your mind is free to roam with all manner of subtle impression. Your mind is not limited to language or thought. It's not. It's absolutely free to roam. Multispectrally. Right now. You are absolutely free to roam. And being free to roam doesn't mean you have to tell yourself a story or agree with it or disagree with it or be afflicted by an idea about anything. So that's fun to see, that your present experience, with no effort on your part, not having filled out a questionnaire or even signed your life away or dated anything, is here free to roam.
What's interesting is that when we don't take, conscious command of what we're thinking, which is most of the time. But looking at it like in terms of dreams, I mean, it all still happens anyway and in the most bizarre way. You know, I mean, it's just clicking off, neurons firing or whatever, and you're just like reliving things, but in some bizarre way. I mean, it's just going to happen, whether it's real life or what we think of as real life. Or real dream.
You are a darting imaginarium. You can't, you or any, none of us can hold any meaningful thought or feeling at all.
But I think that's
totally darting imaginarium.
What's interesting, I think, is whatever awareness there is behind it. You know? So, I mean, you know, just to recognize that that's what's happening, I think.
Yes, meditation, mindfulness, cushion time of all kinds are geared to the recognition of the nature of this as a darting imaginarium. If it's good, if it's sincere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
life, as
right.
we use the term,
gobblers and carrot cake. I like to call it that from now on.
Continuous meditation. That's what it is.
Yes, of course you can say that. Mm-hmm. Sure. Why not?
And it can't be otherwise, I think.
Okay. Yes. And you know, next week your homework is to say the exact same thing using completely different words.
Okay, well,
and
I'll
you
be
will.
Here the week later.
And you can. And you can, because this isn't anything.
This whole idea that, you know, the default mode network, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like Cartoon Network?
Well, it's supposedly that sort of hyper audio, auditory thinking that we do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that supposedly meditators can shut that off more than other people, and therefore they
uh-huh.
need to experience something spiritual or something that others can't.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but I had something in mind. I've forgotten.
All you need is a white
I think we
noise
were talking about
machine.
Meditation.
Well,
I think that's what you're in.
Yeah, like we were talking
meditation
about meditation
during regular life.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like thought, like, you know, those of us who are handicapped by thought more than other, you know, which is like everybody probably, but you know, there's what we see in terms of imagination, and then there's our thoughts would then create, like, certain images, which is another aspect of that. And yet, you know, we definitely seem to like the more hyper-focused sensory-aware states more than we do the, you know.
Hard to say. Depends on your socioeconomic class.
Yeah.
You know, where you work.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You mean like getting into a good movie, right?
Yeah, where we're not thinking so much about, like, I like this, I don't like that, or I like this person, I hate that person, like,
it's always a treat.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never experienced that.
One can observe
pleasant surprise.
That one's present nature. Is pretty damn chill. That's it. You don't fight with thought, justify thought, navigate or negotiate, bargain with thought. Because once we tangle with thought, it's like a tar baby, right? You remain embroiled in the machine. So it's like, oh, okay, thought is worrying over there. And I know I can reach out and, you know, get a big blotch of it on my face at any time. But you can also feel presently that your experience is not dictated or punctuated by thought. You feel yourself as a primacy.
So there's a difference then.
Well, what's the difference between what and what?
Well, feeling yourself, this groovy kind of, you know.
It's a groovy kind of love. Groovy kind of love. Got a groovy kind of love. Groovy kind of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So if you aim for a difference, and of course you can find as many differences as you care to between the moment you're born and the moment you die, you are a feast of difference. Mm. So before one, right, lines up the differences, your primacy is so. Your primacy is felt. You feel this. And whatever thought is or isn't appears in the cogency, the weird boundaryless
cogency. So the primacy is different than the thought.
No, nothing's different than anything.
Nothing's different than anything.
No, because then you're assigning. You can't assign. Or you can assign, but you'll be in thought again. You see? Thought assigns. This is this. This is a groovy kind of love.
Always pops up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you're in, like, the groovy place, you know, there's, like, this thing that happens where you go, you get bored or something, where your mind wants to be active.
Oh, the groovy place.
Yeah, when you're in the groovy place. Right? I mean, I have, there's times when I'm like, okay, you know.
Enough groovy
get,
already.
Get your mind working.
To go,
you know.
Stir up the chaos.
Yeah. Or, okay. Just. It seems to be just a natural thing for me.
You're a darting imaginarium.
Yes.
Thought is an element of being a darting imaginarium.
It's just weird, though.
Conjurer.
It's just still magician. Always seems like there's some, you know, preferential.
Maybe by the Sig fuckers.
Yeah.
But they're deluded.
What's Sig?
The Sig fuckers are deluded.
Like cigarette Sig?
Okay. Here, should I just
use that? Self-inquiry group.
Self-inquiry group?
Because they make a career out of announcing themselves as being done with seeking.
Yeah. But maybe.
To each other on a semi-annual basis. It's a fucking orgy if I'm not seeking anymore. But it's so trivial.
Not to them, I guess.
No, not to them.
That's just like, I'm not going to eat cake anymore.
Oh, they probably doubt that.
Yeah, so we know vegan activism.
But, you know, it did occur to me that the things that I'm more irritated by, maybe looking at a Sig group or some endless pursuit of some state of consciousness.
Yes. Says,
okay, we're going to refine this and we're called this.
Right.
Is irritating.
Totally.
Or not.
Or not. Depends on how you roll with it.
Right, right.
How many people work the parking lot when Amici comes to town? Fucking dozens of people work the parking lot. When she comes to town, another dozen work the coconut table. Then another dozen set up the instruments and sing bhajans. Another dozen give out the numbers so that you can get your goddamn hug at 2:30 in the morning. That's how big that clown show is. Hospitals and universities, man.
So if it works for, you know, for a given group.
Yeah.
However imaginary or, what do you call it, loopy, you might say.
Loopy.
You know, in the sense of there'll never be enough because you're pursuing something that is not quite there. And then when you're there, it's not quite that. It's got to be something more.
The Divine Mother is a rascal.
So maybe it's whatever that quality of loopy shows up is irritating because there is no end.
To
pursuing.
Oh, oh yeah,
I've
yeah.
got it now. Now what? Oh, I want more. Now what? Oh, how about less?
It's a dog chasing.
Now what?
Tail.
How about this?
Oh, I. Sometimes when I have like a really blissful day, I will wrestle myself into suffering.
Yeah.
Because I want to hold it because of that pursuit, and I'm like, oh, this is good, and I gotta jar it up, and then I squeeze it into a jar, and I put the lid on, and then I hate myself.
Fair enough. Yeah, and hating ourselves, as juicy as that is, doesn't stop us from doing it again tomorrow.
No.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Just like the rails on the steps.
Yeah, I'm always giant. Yeah, whenever I get into the jar, the rails, whatever.
That's cool.
I find that any act of self-love is like, for me, when I have my neck in the thing, if I can get to the point where I go, Eric, it's okay that you did this. My head comes free, and then there's no head. There's no Eric.
That's right. Don't
and
get a swell
it's just,
head.
Yeah, and then there's none of me anymore, yeah, and it's right. just back to the thing, and then back I go into the jar.
There you go. Good. Well put. That's the cycle.
That's the cycle.
Yes, it is.
The quicker I can forgive myself for getting into the jar, the quicker I get back to...
Yeah. All right. You know, as long as that works, then put it to good use.
I don't know if it works.
If you can.
I'm saying this right now.
Right. Well, now that you've had the revelation, put it to good use and, you know, report back.
We want a 12-picture.
We need a scout. Eric will be the scout. He's going to scout out whether liberation is possible by forgiving himself. And we're going to let us know if it works.
No, I don't. If I had a manual, then I would use it.
Oh, okay.
and it would work, and I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's true. If you had a manual, you'd have read it by now. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. You see if there's an urgency to become, right? Or an urgency for an idealized condition or experience. That urgency sparks here. You can feel it. You can see it. You can taste, right? The conjuring and the consequences of the slightest urgency of becoming. Or putting one's head between the...
Well, it's so natural that I don't think we usually think about it. It's just what it seems like we do, what I do, what it seems like everybody else does. It's just part of the deal. But then when you call it into question, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Yep. That's right. When you call it into question, which, of course, is a natural gift of its own occurring, right, then some other quality of revelation occurs.
Yeah, then all of a sudden there could be this other thing.
Yep, that's right. Another thing can appear in the texture of your experience.
That's, I think, why it's so hard to communicate with so many people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To really communicate on any kind of a good level, you know. They don't know what they're talking about. There's a left-hand path and all that jazz, you know. I like that. I mean, it gives, that at least gives some kind of visualization. But, yeah, it's hard.
There's a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
Appears to be so, because there's a lot of people peddling solutions, right, ameliorative for suffering. Mm-hmm. So they must be selling their solution kits to somebody, right? So just calling into question the, call it the texture and quality of the suffering, and the way that the safety kit, right? What's that called? What's that kit's called?
First aid kit.
What the first aid kit looks like. And all I'm suggesting is that if you look deeply at most of these first aid kits, they are also wrapped up, right, in the myth of the suffering. There's an incestuous relationship between the first aid kit and the suffering.
Well, it reifies the suffering.
It can. That's the caution. I'm just raising a little tiny flag, just a little one, to say, hey, be careful with the safety kits, the first aid kits you get involved with, because they tend to reify, justify, fetishize the suffering. A little bit of a slippery slope there. It doesn't mean that people with serious addiction problems, low self-esteem, PTSD, we know the whole drill, right? That it's nice for humans to lend a hand to other humans so they can build a foundation for a deeper quality of humor. Mm. That's cool.
But if it's a non-causal place, then who's to say that even does anything?
You don't know. You don't know. Well, you have your own life to borrow from, right? You've done a bunch of stuff to deal with you, right? I've done a bunch of stuff to deal with the nuisance of me. Everyone in the room has done a bunch of stuff to deal with the nuisance of them. And ask anyone to see how it's going so far, how it's worked out for you.
This kind of takes the wind out of the sails of going to pursue the next.
It can.
Means of dealing with the nuisance of me.
It can.
It just doesn't seem quite as fresh and
isn't that strange? It's a different geometry, isn't it, than purchasing the first aid kit to remedy or bandage the nuisance of me is a bit of a different strategy than simply not being all that concerned with the nuisance of me.
Totally.
Yeah, it's very different.
And it doesn't mean you don't, you know, go and do some first aid kit shit, but there's just less investment in it.
Thank God for the wine store.
Deliver, man.
Yeah. In all the ways that one can go to a wine store.
Yeah, whether it looks like food or wine
Or a good pornographic enlightenment story on Backgap. Yeah, right? I mean,
yeah. I'm done with all that.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be. It's as good a pastime as any.
I've done with cake. I've done with enlightenment porn.
There's not much difference between free cell, enlightenment porn, or carrot cake. You know, you get through a day somehow.
It's true.
You're in an affluent Western society where you have more leisure time than any of us really deserve. Right? And so what do we do with it? Well, we make a lot of fucking trouble. We stick our head in the banister.
That's probably why people like in Mexico are happier than other places, you know?
Yeah.
Just hard. Enough food to eat, but, you know, not a lot more than that, you know?
We can, you know, this primate, right, this Homo sapiens sapiens can get in a lot of trouble. I mean, you know, we're capable of some really serious trouble. In great numbers with different ideologies and a few machetes, boy, you can draw a lot of blood.
I don't know why this thought came to mind, but does anyone know of any studies where there are tribes or any existence that didn't have a deity? Or humans that didn't create a deity?
Whoa. Yeah, like naturally born atheists.
I'm just nodding up because of... Speaking to the human condition, it's like, why are we searching? Why are we, you know, what is it about us that thinks that there's a higher place?
Look at the animus, right? That punctuates, enlivens our moment-to-moment experience. It's an incredible animus. It's archetypal. It's bizarre. I mean, look at a cloud, you see faces. Look at rocks, you see faces. Look at faces, you see faces. You know, look at a weird thing in a tree and the Mother Mary appears. I mean, the animus is everywhere.
Right.
And so that's part of it. The deification of the peculiar nature of experiencing is you can't help it. It's just too weird, it's too cool. It's too roomy. It's too luscious.
So there's no culture that you know of that hasn't had a deity?
Or well, there's the Republicans. Right?
What did he say?
Have they been studied? I don't know.
The ironic thing is they're mostly fundamentalist Christians, too.
It's very strange.
Because like Taoism... is like nature and stuff like that, right? Or,
absolutely, yeah. Sure. You can't escape.
You know,
you can't escape the bioluminescent rhythms of the biosphere,
yeah.
Of the sun and the moon energy, of the water, of the movement of weather and clouds and wind and current. It's all current, and it's chock full
of
animus.
A tribe, like, in the South Pacific that, like, the queen's husband went to visit one time, and now they think he's a god.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So there it goes. Yes. What does the infant do, right? What's the infant imprint on first?
We should go there.
Right? The face of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Boom! It's glorious, right? I mean, how does the mother look back at the infant? I mean, it's shared glory, right? I mean, it's pure ecstasy. It's total ecstasy, right? The child looking at the mother and the mother looking at the child. I mean, that creates light, that fucking thing. It can light up a room. That love, that animus, that profundity. So here we are. We're all products of it, right? Regardless of gender, whether we had a great mom or not such a great mom. That animus, that recognition, the pattern, the urgency, the glue of this bioluminosity is unstoppable. It's insane. So it makes trouble.
But we were all taught that there's a God. You know, so we're kind of...
It's a bad day. I remember it well.
We're kind of stepping back from that, saying, okay, you know, that's bunk, or these are all created stories. And I'm just wondering if you were a child and you know, someone didn't teach you that there's a higher power and a supreme being.
There's a lot of atheist families now, right?
My daughter hasn't been told that there's a God, and she brought it up to me today. Because of Passover, I'm like, you don't know what Passover is? So I try to tell her about Moses, and she's like, "You're not going to start now, Mom." I'm like, "Well, I thought maybe you'd like to know who Moses was." She's 18.
I know my daughter is.
And I know all the Bible stories, but.
For me, though, my application of anything that I ever thought conceptually of what God would be is, for me, becomes, at least in this this approach of kind of not knowing what is going on,
right.
It becomes more brilliant and just totally blows out of proportion anything I ever personally. Whatever I thought of as, I mean, it's like a milieu of every confusion and thing that I thought could exist. That in no way for me personally, as my brain lets go of each little thread and allows itself to stop fighting, is way more wonderful in many ways than any concept I would have about Jesus or God or the infinitude of it, even whatever the hell that means, you know. And that's for me personally.
Mm-hmm. So it hasn't prevented you from experiencing.
I think it made me more. Actually, when I come back to being just Eric the guy, my connection with what I feel conceptually is Christ-like or God-like is more powerful, and I trust it more. Because I see it as a like a glimmer of the weird, wild infinitude, whatever the hell.
Fuckity duck.
Fuckity duck. The Zen Jeff fuckity duck experience. yeah, absolutely. Like prayer and all these other wild things that to me are just these kind of little puppet things I'm just messing with when I'm not hanging out in the Zen Jeff fuckity duck play place.
Las cucarachas entran, pero no pueden salir.
The cockroaches can I buy? What did you say?
Cockroaches come in, but they cannot get out.
Oh, so
I think that's all he does. He says that over and over.
I love it.
Cockroach hotel.
This is the cockroach hotel. It's a little different than the Eagles version.
You're gonna learn a lot in Spanish. That's the most useful, obviously.
I gotta go to the thing.
Please.
It's pretty funny that we talk so much about this, but there's no. I mean, there really isn't any point or end or goal, or there's nothing. I mean, if we truly are going to be immersed in what we're pointing to, there's no place to go, there's nothing to do, there's nothing to get. It just seems puzzling that we all come here.
Well, just because there's nothing to do, go, or get doesn't mean you should show up and hope to God someone brings carrot cake.
And laugh a lot.
If there's something or if there's nothing, neither one has to influence behavior in any particular direction.
I used to be so sure that, you know, there was something to get and everything was sort of pretty strategic in that direction. And what I've realized is I'm no longer particularly strategic, and I still am here, and I don't know. Like the wandering, the doing still happens, but there's less story around what I'm doing or what I'm going to get.
You get some relief of placing even yourself in some context.
Yeah.
Why impose meaning on yourself?
Yeah.
Why limit yourself by virtue of justification? You're way stranger than that. You're way more magical than being the consequence of limitation or choice or beneficent outcome.
It's more playful and more fun just to get curious about which way the car is going to turn.
Sure can.
So hopefully not into oncoming traffic.
Usually, like, you know, get a point you turn off one way or another, it's like, okay, which way is it going to go?
The notion of self, the texture of self, the feeling of self is conjured in situ, is conjured presently. You are not born self, you are not conceived the self, you have never actually suffered the consequences of being a self. So any conundrum that you place yourself in, whether it's a blissful conundrum or a less than blissful conundrum, is conjured presently. That could be big. Could be big. It doesn't have to be. Because we usually associate our personal lamentation as if it's a lifelong, right, phenomenon. As if I'm made of self. As if the self is what I am and has been what I am since I was conceived or born or 2 years old when I started saying no. But you've never been self, ever. So any sense of being self, either accommodating or the victim of, is just a present hallucination. And that can be a little strange. Most of us tend to think of ourselves as, right, the durable self, with a lot of inventory to show or to justify that fact of being. But it's not true.
Well, it seems like there's some continuity. There's something there. There's some regularity.
Regularity would be good, yeah.
Welcome to Metamucil Universe. Everybody is regular.
But there's different... you know,
it is the shit.
To it. You know, there are times when you are encumbered with this crap that's in your mind, you know. Mm-hmm. Then there's other times when you seem to be free of that. I feel like there's the same self throughout the whole thing, but it's just like there's this different shit, you know.
Yeah, you are indeed are that. The same shit, different day. Same old shit, different day. Yeah. And look how you even one frames one's experience. Like presently, right? You frame your experience through a lovely concoction of metaphors and suggestions and words and feelings. There's a lot of sincerity and, you know, availability, vulnerability, and all of it. And it's just the poetry of the moment.
It's vaporware.
It's vaporware. There's nothing to it. It's the poetry of the moment. It doesn't mean we don't appreciate or agree or disagree with what you're saying. Like, we're picking up what you're putting down. But it's vaporware. What's that?
That's what we're doing here. Yeah,
we're picking up what you're putting down. Picking it up and shutting it down. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck this is, actually.
I find that when I lose, when I climb out of surrender.
Yes.
Back into my brain.
Ooh.
The only way to even have that experience that you just said of like, well, I have a continuous durable thing, is for my brain right now. After something that seems like a me wrestles itself out of surrender, starts building stories right here of, well, Eric, don't you know? Almost like a lawyer trying to convince me I don't belong in the surrender.
You know why they bury lawyers 12 feet deep? Because deep down, they're good people.
Wow.
Are you just waiting for somebody to say lawyer?
Yeah, like the Groucho Marx's word of the day, you know? Yeah. The magic word, Froggy. You said lawyer, I'm sorry.
You get another piece of cake, though, yeah. For saying it.
It's like Catcher in the Rye. Someone says lawyer, and I have to tell that joke.
Yeah, it's either continuous self or nothing. It's just appearing at every moment, which is
appearing.
There's where? Not even a moment.
Appearing where? You know, I mean, I see this as the old radiant presence thing. You know?
Yeah, it's the old radiant presence thing. Chalk one up for the Gipper. The old radiant presence.
And all that.
And all that. Yeah, exactly.
How could anything be recognized?
Procol Harum called it a salty dog.
Let's start.
Yeah, Iron Butterfly referred to it as Inagata Devita.
Baby.
Inagata Devita, baby. Don't you know that I love you?
He's in a tuneful mood tonight.
Yeah. Someone give me a Ricky Nelson tune. Ricky Nelson tune.
Went to a garden party?
Ah, nice.
Went to a garden party. Last one.
Ricky Nelson? Yeah. Has there been a lot? I didn't know that was a thing here.
You can look at high concepts from various religions, yeah. You know, like dependent origination and Dzogchen things and Kashmiri Shaivism things. And you can go to exotic places, right? Whether it's Urantia or the Rosicrucians or some kind of Western occultism and what grew out of that, or Taoism, you know, or the very thin kinds of, right, systems. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find this animus again, right? Over and over and over again. Absolutely mesmerizing animus. Or all those temple carvings, right, in India, in places that are just so full of, right, sexual exploits and pigs and elephants and mice and flying monkeys and intercourse of all kinds carved into stone. You're like, whoa! This knows how to get it on. Mm-hmm. Really does. Interest can go two ways. Interest in experiencing from the vantage point of a creature can solicit or foment a lot of chaos, right? Interest creates self. So any interest in this primacy is the conception, right? The conception event of self. The slightest interest in primacy is the conception point of self.
Woo! Well, of like an identified self. You know, I mean, I can't say what self is. Sort of the pure self.
Well, yes.
But as soon as it has some form...
Pure self is almost absurd. Because pure self is so lofty an idea. It's really useless.
No matter what.
Yeah, yeah. When I refer to self, I mean, you know, me the asshole. Me the self-suffering, frustrated, temporal, wise guy asshole. That I can put my teeth into.
Yeah.
That other self, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But the lowercase self, I can get jiggy with that. That's why I'm suggesting the slightest hint of interest in the profundity of primacy creates self.
Wait, slightest interest in the
in
profundity?
This. In this. The slightest interest in this creates self.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You mean that the slightest interest in self with a capital S creates self with a little s?
Oh man.
Oh, boy.
Let's ditch. Well, let's ditch self with a capital S. That's just absolutely imaginary.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's a lofty moniker.
So, this, the big this,
Well, what the big
we're
this?
Saying slightest interest in the big this.
Yeah, so you're, yeah, the big this. No, no.
Makes
no.
This measly little needy green.
Here's experiencing.
Yeah.
Okay, here's this baseline of primacy. The slightest interest in primacy is the genesis of self.
How could you not be interested in primacy? It's the only game in town. It's always here, it's loud, it's obnoxious, it wakes you up in the morning, and half the time keeps you up in the middle of the night. And what the fuck?
Well, I think interest kind of sort of implies that you sort of dive into it, you know, right? I mean, you sort of pursue.
Well, is it interest? You mean interest, or do you mean it like attachment or manipulation or leverage?
No, you
or
see, even the slightest nuance of interest creates all of that.
It creates you.
That's right.
Interest from a perspective of me. Interest from what can I get?
Any specificity. You know, I'm walking down the path, some cat grabs your attention, right? You know.
Yeah.
Well, you're grabbed. You know.
I wonder if that's the whole Adam and Eve story, the whole.
Yes, it is.
The Genesis.
Indeed, it is. It is that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Interest in primacy creates self.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody walk this earth without interest in primacy?
Everyone.
Oh, sorry. Walks this earth without interest in primacy. You are making
sense.
You usually don't, but this is exceptionally like.
Good. It's good to make Uber no sense.
This is exceptional. Hey, would you like some more carrot cake?
That always takes the edge off it.
There's this exploding, and then we're doing whatever it does, which is not separate. There's no... And then interest, intrigue, thought, reaction, any tiny anything creates...
Faster than boo.
Right now. Or whatever that is, you know. Not right now. As George Carlin says, there's no right now, because the second you say right now, then it's gone.
Look where it got him.
Yeah, no, I actually don't agree with that.
No, well, it's, you know, it's playful. It's, you can look at it any way. See, play around with if a sense of self, a sense of durability, is roiling about in your experience, where you place yourself as the consequence of time, space, and activity.
Yeah.
What's doing? Does it have a genesis? Can you trace it back to its right? To its most subtle, minute origin, were there one? And I'm just metaphorically referring to that genesis, minute conception point.
Ooh.
As interest in primacy.
The thing that helped me understand that was the first time I came and Jeff said, you know, how'd you get here? And then somebody goes, you know, well, we drove here. You don't know how the fuck you got here. I think that...
Paraphrasing, of course.
I think that really...
Use the F word.
It unmoored me from my story I made up it here. Like, I made up a story while I drove here in a car. I walked up the thing. It unmoored me completely from that, where this floating thing is born right now, because I'm... trying.
The subtle or powerful, right? Subtle or gross instinct or impulse to create a frame of reference for present experiencing. That's interest. That creates self. Yeah.
Interest meaning creating the frame of reference. So,
yes.
So there's some explanation.
Cloud seeding a frame of reference.
Yeah. There's some explanation for this experience, and the explanation for this experience creates.
Once you seed the cloud, which is interest, it's raining self.
Yeah.
Say that again.
That's interesting. It's a call.
He's
going
to start singing It's Raining Man. I
when
can
you
hear
it.
It's like room or something.
Yeah, put a ring on it. If you want to put a ring on it.
Oh, God.
You even know that song?
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, I know.
That's a great song.
You should have been locking the door.
Now, just to make things worse, for fun. Let's say we're following this, you know, Baroque notion of interest in primacy, seeding the cloud, of which is interest in primacy, starts reigning self. So from that vantage point, we could say, be on the lookout for interest. Be on the lookout for, right, the genesis of the creation of self. So, to mix it up, let's use interest in a different context. As you were suggesting, all this is interest in self. Unafflicted.
Don't you think that's an abstraction?
Well, good luck finding something that's not.
No, I didn't mean that as a critique.
Yeah, well.
I would just...
Yeah. That's what we're playing with. They're, you could call them, you know, layers of competitive abstractions. The more competitive abstractions you can throw on the fire, then, clearly the weirder it gets because, you know, you... Blah, blah. So all that's present, if there's anything present, is... unafflicted, miraculous interest.
Doesn't interest imply something, someone, some entity, some...
It may.
Trying to...
It may, but that's why I'm suggesting maybe it needn't. Maybe it needn't. Here's interest, which is... The thrill, the miracle, the startle of present experiencing. Here it is.
So if you just use the word attention, then that might, you know.
Yes, sure.
Make it easier to.
Did you say attention?
I think what you're getting at is attention, and he's using the word interest. That's how I'm hearing it.
This is thrilling. Ongoingly thrilling. No. Sorry, but there's got to be an envelope somewhere or a basket.
Envelope.
Yes.
Pass
the hat.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh,
it's already cracked.
You better get a tray and start making a bowl.
Looks like something they had in Jesus' time.
Just playing around with the texture of present experience. What does interest imply? How does interest or the impulse for frame of reference creation that places me in the circle of the frame of reference create self? Create lamentation, pain, suffering, temporality, limitation, craving, aversion.
It seems to be impossible to have interest without desire, manipulation, grasping.
So I was suggesting that.
Hand in hand.
Just that observation. Yeah. It's weird. It's impossible, right? We're not saying it's true. We're just playing with it. It feels, just for the moment, that it's impossible to have interest without the concomitant suffering and temporality, right, and boundary fields that it conjures instantaneously.
At times there's a curiosity. At times there's like a kind of a step back. You just watch. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a bug on. Mm-hmm. That is possible. That has been seen.
No, she did.
Just one piece of junk.
Yeah, we're playing around with what's so, meaning what's present, what's seeable, what's feelable. That's all. Without, you know, fanfare or some kind of repetitive liturgy, right? Experience mongering or experience leading. We don't want to lead anyone's experience. No one has the right to sit here and say what enlightenment is or isn't. No one does. We don't want to lead the witness. Yeah.
There's some of that, though. I don't know.
There may be.
Yeah.
There may be.
Yeah.
So it's up to you to negotiate the circle, mm-hmm. in the way that's, let's just say, best for you.
Yeah.
or that happens to you that time that you're in the circle. Mm-hmm. Right? Because even with the best of intentions, you're not going to get your wishes. You're not going to turn this into what you think you want from it. It's not going to happen.
No. That's a shame. Why not?
Yeah.
You wish it had.
Keep trying it, by all means. Yeah. Tell us how it works.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like those lucid dreams are the same way. They're never.
This is a lucid dream. You cannot turn it into what you want from it.
Even if you have awareness, it's a lucid dream. It's sort of still not.
Thank you so much.
Doesn't do what you want it to do.
No, this never does what you want it to do.
I don't think it is
the good
a lucid
news.
Dream.
What's that?
That's the good news.
That you can't.
That this will never do what you want it to.
Well, I guess it would be boring, I suppose.
Find out. Uh-huh. Have, you know, go tangle with the ghost of Christmas
is
past, present, and
future.
The same
as interest, right? Want is even a stronger.
Well, even lucid dreaming is the same thing. Being lucid, someone being lucid, controlling, trying to control, trying to walk down the path is robbing surrender.
Mm-hmm. The greatest freedom would be, in this context, absolute disinterest.
Which is not an active principle, right? Otherwise, my mind does the opposite. If you have interest, there's a self. If you have disinterest, there's a self. But I think I know what you're saying. It's not the self-fulfilling disinterest. It's just
lack of interest.
Neutral.
Whether you
right?
have interest,
it's just
interest-free.
Accepting
interest-free.
Whatever for you.
Yes, interest-free checking. Yes.
Yeah, it's the language doesn't do it justice. I guess. Yeah, interest or disinterest. Like,
well, if you're just watching what's occurring, you have neither interest nor.
It could be just the absence of interest. I'm on board.
If you're just seeing, then
which is fun.
It doesn't require interest or disinterest.
Yeah, like
you're
yeah.
just mm-hmm. present.
What you're looking for is looking. Yeah.
Well, play with it as present tense. Do it now.
Here's present tense.
Yeah, give it to them. I mean, feel for fun. Feel what it feels like that this is so. And you have no interest.
There's no thought.
In it.
It's just feeling.
Let's hold hands and feel it.
It's like a
That's
beheading.
Out of my mouth.
Night all.
All right, then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See you later, alligator.
Happy birthday. It's delicious. Oh.
We're running away with the cake.
Next week is Thanksgiving. I won't be here. I'll be seeing the machine.
Oh, geez, really?
Well, I think that's Friday night.
What's the machine?
Was that Sellersville?
Thanksgiving machine?
Playing at the Keswick Theater on Friday night.
What's the machine?
I thought he meant he'd be in
a Pink Floyd cover band. I think it might be a Pink Floyd cover band.
Yeah. Do-do-dash.
Thanks for coming, and yes, happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy
birthday.
Thanks for your generosity of the carrot cake.
Thank you.
He's always saying.
Speaking of which, I went to my nephew's birthday. He was 4.
Nice.
And every time someone would say happy birthday to him, he'd say happy birthday.
Cool.
Smoke free, right?
Yep.
Fits perfectly.
I think we have the same similar sized head.
You could put 4 of her heads in there.
The disinterest.
Yeah.
It just sprung up in my mind.
Sure.
Oh, God, I lost it back there.
Lost and fast.
Okay, where does that go?
Yeah. Oh, this has no utility. It's similar. It's the same.
Can be
kind of
equanimity.
Yeah. That's behind it.
Could be that
equanimity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Buddhists ruined the equanimity thing because they've turned it into an accoutrement of self.
Those bastards.
Yeah.
Well, disinterest I always think of, like, ho-hum, you know, that kind of disease.
Aloof.
But that's just because of the limitations of language, I guess.
This is like, this is nuts.
Well, that would be like reveling, then. That would be basking, or...
I would say they're the same. Disinterest gives you the key for basking. Disinterest is the key for revelatory.
Well, how about curious? Or detached curiosity?
Oxymoron.
Looking at a kind of a subtlety where there's something present. You haven't gone into absolute vacuity. There's something present. And what is the quality of that presence that releases you from consequence, releases you from storytelling, releases you from the pressure that this should have some utility, that this is not about anything? Here it is. Wile E. Coyote, bleep bleep, and it's not about anything. So now there's nothing to idealize.
This is the Wile E. Coyote.
Well, it's the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote and the safe.
Oh man.
That's why we love that cartoon so much.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, man.
For me, the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner are born through interest, the same way you said that I am born.
Yes.
For me.
They can be. Sure. Yeah. They can be.
It's funny how, you know, it used to be like when you talked about somebody who was shallow, you'd say, oh, that person's just kind of empty, or that was like a bad thing. Now all of a sudden they're like...
Yeah. They're the coolest shallow folks in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. How groovy is groovy when it doesn't have to be groovy?
How groovy is groovy, man?
It's pretty groovy. There's no point in using clever hypotheticals or stories about someone's so-called enlightenment. That's also trivial. When you have this in your face, you have the real thing presently. The warp and woof.
Face enlightened people.
The warp and woof and timbre of your first-hand experience. It contains it all. Expresses, exemplifies, celebrates it all. Just this thing. Running around reporting on silly experiences or being free from fears. So much attention seeking.
Well, maybe it's like Andy Warhol said, everybody will get their 15 minutes of enlightenment.
Yeah.
Orange origin story.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, the radio hosts, you know, that sponsor this pornography seem to be fond of it. And the reason they're fond of it is, I would argue, is they're not mature enough to really appreciate the depthful nature of revelation itself.
Maybe that's why the Dalai Lama won't cop to it.
Yeah. So they fawn over the Enlightenment story as if it's something to send a postcard home about.
Well, because otherwise you have the obliteration of self. So you have people who don't want to surrender their self, and in this kind of made-up magical clay world,
yeah,
create a bunch of plays about it.
Sure.
I met a woman in L.A. when I was meditating a lot. She was one of my clients, and she said, oh, my... After, like, 15 minutes, she said, oh, my... Oh, so have you been to any, like, of expos or teachers or India? And I said, no. And she said, I've been to many expos, and I think you're enlightened.
Whoa.
And she was, like, blown away, and I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, honestly.
Nice.
And I think I didn't, because she was just seeing a guy, like, glued to the wallpaper and not knowing any different. And that's, I think, what it feels like for any of us when we're, like, trapped in ourselves, seeing somebody who is not trapped.
Yeah, sure.
Is not shackled to something.
Right.
It's almost, we get jealous or hurt almost by seeing somebody. And they could be doing anything. They could be playing at the Academy Awards. They could be winning a football, whatever. When they're exploding, it's like almost an insult.
The culture does tend to celebrate demonstrative superpowers.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's the celebrity of the actor or the politician or the athlete, right? The newscaster.
No, I meant that in a good way, that many times people in their state of excellence are merely exploding out of their cage.
Yeah, right. Try winning the Tour de France without drugs.
What the hell?
No, what the hell?
Give the guy a break.
Yeah.
Try being a comedian accused of sexual assault.
Uh-huh. A lot of fun out there.
Weird.
Roofies, alcohol and roofies. It'll do it every time.
Are you going to cut that thing out about Honey Boo Boo or what?
No, I don't think so. Let him sue me.
Somebody was telling me that they listened to some radio show where they, every day they report on somebody who had to make a public apology for saying something offensive.
Ouch.
That's terrible.
And then some people wouldn't apologize, like Joan Rivers refused to apologize for something she said, you know.
That bitch.
Oh. Yes.
Maybe one of the handicapped or something like that. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they got her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And Mike Nichols died today.
Yes, we saw that.
Who?
Famous movie director.
Mike Nichols? What did he do?
Diane Sawyer's husband.
And then the Dustin Hoffman movie. The Graduate?
Yeah.
The Graduate.
Oh, okay.
George Clooney. Yeah. Lots of movies, actually.
Well, I've been playing around with, and I've told Francine about this, the self that grabs me all the time is in the mirror. So when I look in the mirror, I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not me.
She's
going
to mutilate herself just so she...
I was been playing around with, cutting my hair, like,
off.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, I can't because stop you.
Just to fuck with the bitch in the mirror.
Just, because I have to confront the identification with self.
Why?
Like,
yeah,
I
understand. Sure, yep.
But can't you just celebrate the...
You
have this, and then some interest occurs or whatever, and then, well, there's a ghost.
I like a good fight.
But why not have a...
That's what it is. But
why not love the ghost or the... Why in the weird theater that is
whatever
an interest in suffering, why make more suffering? Why do something defined? Unless that would
make
you...
That's a good question, because I do sort of pursue suffering in a way.
Yeah, that seems very nonsensical if there's some sort of a desire to let go and surrender to explosive this, and you find yourself wrestling into you, why wrestle into you to fuck with you? That's my question.
Okay.
That seems like extra wrestling.
Maybe. Could be.
Why not make why not be like, all right, for some reason, one minute I'm everything, and then I fucking land on my ass, I'm eating a hot dog, and I am stuck. Why not set up the coziest, nicest little haven?
Well, I could do that, and I have played around with that. But I like confrontation.
Oh, okay.
Be true.
Like, that's my nature.
To yourself.
I'll get back to you.
Nice. Do you know the story of Delilah? Because you might want to read that before you let her cut your hair.
Jamie has
my Delilah. Sorry.
How about Dulcinea?
Is that what it's called?
Dulcinea.
You hook it up to the shop vac.
Look, but it would work, I think. It would work. It would confront you.
Without focusing on your response. Yay or nay.
Okay.
Let's just play around with the lovely revelation of who it is that's looking back at you from the mirror.
Right.
What's the lovely kind of frightful or engaging dichotomy that occurs when you see your so-called reflection and you know without any prodding that it's not you?
Well, but I know that it is me also.
Ah.
It's just that I have a reaction, and the fact that I have a reaction,
yes,
is like
you'd like to make a more terrifying reaction.
It's telling something, just that I react.
Yeah. Okay.
But I may be able to come to the place where I only react in kindness. I might be able to do that.
If we were all there,
she's trying to get to some static place by.
But if Jeff was here, if we were all there with you, say we hung a mirror right there.
May I interrupt for a moment?
Absolutely. I'm interrupting.
Hypotheticals just dilute.
Not dilute. In the presence of if there...
Dilutes.
Okay. There's this. There's this period.
That's it. There's no need to respond to anyone's advice, right, with counter-advice.
Sure. Well, there's a mirror.
Right. And this is what we do with ourselves, right? We respond to ourselves with counter-advice.
Sure.
And that goes back to this suggestion that interest creates self.
Mm.
Then you're lost. You see, you're down a river.
Well,
Bob Newhart's advice.
Do you have a...
What's that?
Just stop, Newhart. Bob Newhart's advice
is
best.
No, because really, when I look, and I can sometimes look kindly, it's not always bad, but I know that I, how would you say it, don't want to be old. So there is where the confrontation, there's where the self is grabbing me.
Oh, all right. So the issue here is really vanity.
Maybe, yeah. Why
okay,
not?
That's
but,
cool.
But it's yeah. but it's like a it's a place.
Yeah.
It's a place that
yeah, right.
I identify with. There's an identification. So there
sure.
to me is
right. And you're welcome to it, like anyone is, right?
Yeah, you, but to me it's an opportunity
to.
They should just get rid of mirrors when you pass 30 or something.
Maybe head on. Whatever it is.
Maybe that
yeah.
we do when we say
well,
maybe walk around and just go, I love you.
You know, you're,
I love you.
You're of course welcome to have
in
any encounter.
Right.
Your bra.
Any response.
Wow.
Any creative right interpretation as a response. You can play with it as a place where I might still be, quote, stuck or not stuck, whether it's aging or whether the reflection is me or not me. And the response to want to change your appearance or cut your hair or do whatever it is
mm-hmm.
so that you can play around with the matrix of that response, you're also welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You're also welcome to it, right?
So then what I think maybe, and this is just coming up now, this is therapy. what I think is I was judging that then my reaction as like...
That's the slippery slope.
As...
Once you...
Unwelcome.
Once you believe in the slightest, in whatever reactivity
okay.
may be appearing in your experience,
mm-hmm.
and then that becomes so,
ugh.
Well, now you're in a cascade of reaction.
Yes.
So the cascade of interest, right, starts from nothing at all, casually walking by the bathroom mirror. And all of a sudden, you're in a, right, cascade of something or other. Some kind of hysteria just arose. And then all of these associations occur spontaneously with that hysteria. Imagery, identity, you know, aging, caught, not caught, kindness, lack of kindness. It's an instant proliferation, an instantly cascading proliferation, which then suckers you into the imagination that there's something that occurred. It occurred to you. Now you've got to do something
yes.
about it.
That's exactly
and
right?
then once you
yes.
do something about that,
yes.
that's where exactly
it.
Something about
so
that.
We're looking at,
so
apropos
of
our conversation, we're
yep.
looking at, in this case,
story.
The mechanism or geometry of interest.
Yeah, yeah.
Something happened. Oh, it did. and it's about me. Oh, yes, it is. And so I can't just sit here. I've got to do something about it.
Right.
That's it. Now, so yeah. there you go. That's the canoe
yeah.
and the paddle.
That was it.
The canoe and the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Cascade is the word for it. I
oh,
mean,
absolutely.
Like...
Yes, absolutely. This cascades.
Cascade.
Now, you can see the geometry, feel the geometry of cascading mind, cascading association,
mm-hmm.
right? Investment, interest, cascading association. And how that lures you into a sense that something has occurred to you, and you'd best do something about
fight
it.
Back.
Or whatever, the,
yeah.
right? The reaction's not important. That you need to do something about it creates rain. It's raining self. You've seeded the cloud
mm-hmm.
with interest. You've believed in a thing, and now it's raining self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this does all the time, 24/7. That's what it does. That doesn't mean that's what you are. That doesn't mean you're afflicted by it or that you have to even do anything about the appearance of being afflicted by nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You just don't. And there's no crime if you do. And it's not necessarily better if you don't. Because nothing actually happened prior to this moment. And here is where you live and die. Like right now. This is where you live and die.
Yeah, so in my head.
Yep, I know. That they're like
I
that.
I got caught up
yep.
in the self.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You put a nickel in the slot and you go on a canoe ride.
Sylvia Brown says in the afterlife everybody's 30.
30?
30.
She's that kooky psychic. She's like
smokes like a lot.
Yeah.
Raspy.
Yeah.
Everybody's fatty. Sounds like that.
From a therapeutic point of view, right? Bag the spiritual, because that's just so precocious.
Yes.
So, from a therapeutic point of view, playing around and looking at the geometry, the genesis of self, the cascading nature of self, and how enthralling it is, how seductive it is, how it clearly creates a universe of association and emotive investment that is otherwise not true except to the way that you, right, spice it.
Right.
That's it. And so seeing it a couple times, you know, let's say you get together for an hour or two.
Well, maybe
A couple times during the hour or two, you get a little glimpse of how obviously funny you are. Mm-hmm. One is. Mm-hmm. And you go, holy fuck. I am one funny bastard. I will get sucked into a cascade of God knows what on a dime with no nudging or justification whatsoever, take it all the way to the bank, go to the ATM and come up with nothing.
The interesting thing was that the cascading quality was so powerful that when you started to like explain your experience, it somehow gave birth to like 20 trillion referential things in me.
Yes.
And then I was so, there was like this tremendous pride that came over my thoughts about how clever that I was about that predicament.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
I do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like cutting fish line. There's like a fishing line and a hook, and he's just like snip.
I'm the designated driver. That's all it is.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying it's amazing that you know because
myself, you sort of. I don't know.
You know how heart cells get close together and they find a resonance?
Mm-hmm.
Heart cells will naturally start beating in synchrony with each other if they get a little close for a little bit of time. They'll find a like, because it's sonic. Right?
Yeah.
It's a sacred and sonic geometry.
Yeah.
It's an auric geometry.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear you. And then they'll start synchronizing.
Yeah.
So the same thing happens when someone has an exciting event and believes that something occurred to them. There's something they need to do about it. Like you said, 10 trillion associations will appear in you instantaneously, and before you know it, you have civil war.
Yeah. It just drags you right into...
It just drags you right in. So someone has to be the designated driver while everyone else is on a fucking bender.
Yeah. And then making it okay to have trivial suffering and just being, really nurturing it and setting up shops about it and a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. That's right. It's not heavy-handed. You don't know. You don't really need to do anything about anything. Your own intelligence is naturally
stupid enough. Yeah.
Pretending that they go around without any kind of thought. That's just
anyone making
cartoon world.
Anyone making an announcement.
Yeah.
Is a total asshole.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? But what if it's? But that's not necessary. I mean.
Oh yes.
It can be very fun to announce things.
I'm not
and
saying
it can
it's not.
And it can also be fun to announce things within this, I think.
Well, yeah. Yes, it is. Sure
possible.
It is.
I mean, well, we're still talking conceptually, so it's meaningless, but
the Gettysburg Address was a great event, right?
I don't know.
It was a big announcement.
So I just want to run by you where I went with I went further on my cascade.
Oh, yes. Good.
And I'm still holding on to this as logical. So.
Cascading a lot.
I didn't know we could get cascade therapy here. But
So then I said to myself,
I'm next.
Okay. So in this appearance, right?
Yeah.
As we get old and we lose
everything,
our ability, everything that we defined as ourself, we will eventually lose.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Wonderfully so.
So then it's almost like a teaching. That's what came to me. It's a teaching.
Yeah. I think you got what you saw. What you saw in the mirror was the shock of your own dissolution in a very impactful moment, rather than spread casually over years.
Like, what if we because you, if you die, right, if this is just it, everybody's experience, what if that's all even bullshit? Like, you know, I mean, I know we don't die and we're unborn and all that stuff.
No, you don't.
Nice, nice.
Because nobody does.
That's awesome. Wow. Cool.
Although you have said that on occasion.
What's that?
You're never born, you don't die, you never die.
Well, it's just to mix things up. It's not to say that I know anything.
There's right, no you right. to die. The second that there was, even
truth.
If there was a Jeff, the second Jeff didn't exist, you certainly wouldn't know about it.
I don't know. You don't know what this is right now.
No.
So you can't go to a hypothetical and glean anything.
I'm going to get going.
Cascading mind creates associations. It makes it look like we have a handle on this and can speak poetically or playfully about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And we can.
Bye-bye.
It's Eric.
Eric.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can speak poetically and rhapsodically about this. That there's no takeaway is sweet.
That would put every Chinese, you know, takeout out of business.
You could.
No, I'm relieved by that reminder. Because I had this pseudo collection in my head.
Yeah.
Or in my heart, even.
Yes.
And it was taking up valuable
real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really filtering this.
Yes.
Through,
that's right.
Oh, I remember. Let me tell you about. How about this?
Yep.
How's this connected to that?
Yeah. The self takes up precious psychic real estate. That's our sorrow.
It's so dry. It's like.
But I do confess, there is one takeaway.
Uh-oh.
Oh, goody.
Oh, no, you made
I
that
want
work.
Some.
And you're using it?
I got
the cake right here.
It's one less loop. Like, for instance, regretting something that didn't happen, that could have if I was a little more aware on the ball.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't.
Right.
It's not as sticky.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's a takeaway or just a letting go.
If only you'd been there when Jack Ruby shot Oswald, you could have taken the bullet instead.
Oh. Yeah, if you were on the American Airlines flight, they didn't go into the towers or something.
That's right. If only you'd been on the flight when that apparently landed in Shanksville.